tonight, Matthew chapter number 16. I want to read one portion of Scripture there. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24 through verse number 27. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through verse number 27. And I want to look at this and compare it with some other Scripture in a moment. And may the Lord speak to our heart and just help us. Amen. As we look at this tonight. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. But what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Let's pray. Father, we need help tonight to rightly divide this Scripture that will speak to our hearts. And Lord, you've got to speak it, and that faith will be built. Utter something to us tonight, Lord. Each individual, that faith will be built inside, saving faith, Lord. Somebody might be saved. Purge us and cleanse us and move in our midst. Bind the forces of evil. I plead the blood, asking you'd cast aside every demon of hell that would hinder. I know there's a lot of cluttered minds and cloudy minds that's there with all the sickness and whatnot. But Lord, cultivate our minds and help it to come to a committed mind, that we might be what you'd have us to be in these days. Let no one quench your spirit tonight, and we'll praise you. Lord, I need help. I need help physically. I need help spiritually. I pray you'd bring forth a message, the thoughts to my mind that needs to be brought forth, and hide anything that don't need to be brought forth, and maybe worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. And we'll thank you for what you do, and be careful to praise you for it. I want to say I love you. Help me to love you more day by day. Help me to walk in your willing way, and we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. For his sake, we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Everything working pretty good there right now. All right. Thankful for that. I want to use a text verse tonight's message, verse number 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I was asked the other night about the question. We never hear a message preached on that verse, so we begin to deal with it and look at it. But you know, as I looked through the Scripture, through some of the commentaries, I didn't find anybody ever preached on it either. Amen. Now, I'm not saying they never have. I'm talking about a whole message on these verses. But sometimes it's just so hard to preach about some things because we don't want to do what it says that we need to do. Amen. Because you see, this verse is in the midst of the context of what I just read to you there at that time. Now, this verse is important. This is important enough that the Lord recorded these verses in a sense, in all three of the synoptic gospels. You know what synoptic is? It means similar. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. John was written that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and there's many things in John that's not in the others, and vice versa. But sometimes to understand what a saying is or an incident that happened, you've got to read Matthew, you've got to read Mark, and you've got to read Luke. All three of them declare the same thing. And if it's one place in one, it's one place in another, it's the same in the other. Even though words might be different and different things might have transpired. But basically, all three of them recorded the basic same thing here in this situation. For instance, Mark chapter 8, verse number 35. This is what Mark said about this particular verse, and I'm using just the text verse right now. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Then also Luke said this in Luke chapter 9, verse number 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, saved by losing. Saved by losing. That's what the theme is, and the theme as the verse is. Now, if something said one time in the Bible, it's true. You don't have to have it said more than somebody says, well, that's only said one time. It don't matter. It's still God's Word. God moved on men, and He breathed that Word. It's God's Word. But when God says something more than one time, it means it's importantly true. And here we find these things are written three times, mentioned by three different authors or human instruments, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this particular instance, so it's important. For instance, you know in the Bible when Jesus used the word verily, verily, It meant something. I've got something I want to draw your attention to. It's something you need to really take note to. He mentioned that twice to get your attention. So we find this is mentioned here three times right in the verses we read. And yet, so it's really, really important that we find out what he's saying about this particular verse. In fact, this principle that he quoted in verse 25 of our text verse is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39. And this is what he said, and this means it's a different setting. When he said basically the same thing, Matthew 10:39, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Also, he said it in the book of Luke chapter 17, verse number 33, and this was in a different setting, if you please. He said, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Then also we find in the book of John chapter 12, verse number 25, and John even records something similar to this when he said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." So we find here there's several times involved. And so therefore he didn't just mention this principle one time and record it three times. In fact, he mentioned this principle at least four times, and it's recorded six times in the New Testament, and it's alluded to in many other parts of the New Testament about this principle of being saved by losing. That's the title, saved by losing. So therefore, read the text verse again. And he said in verse number 25 of Matthew chapter 16, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." So we see then, first of all, I want to say about this, this is an unloved principle. People don't like this principle because of what the Lord actually said. In other words, not as I said, there's not a lot said about it. In fact, I never saw one message looked up, tried to look up some areas to see if anybody else had dealt with it. They dealt with it just spasmodically, but they didn't really deal with it in context all the way through. In fact, the business, I find that most men, when they dealt with this verse, were applying these verses to that of Christian living after you're saved, is what he was talking about, and they called it discipleship. You ever heard the people talk about we need to disciple them? You know, you analyze what the Bible says about that. You think about it. And in other words, people today are saying, take Jesus as your Savior, and somewhere down the road, you take Him as your Lord. And then you'll become a disciple. And that's not what the Bible said. In fact, do you know what the Lord said in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28? Matthew chapter number 28. He said this, and if I can find it here, Matthew chapter number 28. I've got it marked somewhere. I thought I marked it. I guess I didn't mark it. But here we have the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, the last two verses, he said, he's talking to the New Testament church. And listen to what he said for the saints to do. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, and of course, he said, amen, concluding the book of Matthew. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, the early New Testament church, go into all the world and teach. Teach what? Did you know the word for teach there means to disciple them? Did not Jesus say, if you believe, if you'll continue in my word, you shall be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free? You see, he said, disciple them before they ever baptized. And yet, most Baptists today say, we'll go and win them to the Lord, baptize them, and disciple them. I know he said to teach them after you are baptized them, but that's a different, in a sense, a different application. Teach them the all things of the Scripture. But the first teach means to disciple them. In other words, that they might come to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, everybody that said they were disciples of the Lord were not saved. Amen. They were not saved. The word disciple can mean more in Scripture because we realize something. You realize he taught this. There's not a lot said about it, but his teaching of this principle is necessary that you might be saved. In other words, this principle is necessary for you to be saved. The principle of what? Saved by losing, as we said in our text verse. Now, John chapter 12, verse number 24, we read verse 25 when he said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life everlasting. And Jesus, teaching this principle, said this just before that in verse number 24 of John chapter number 12. Verily, verily. There's that double word. Means something important coming up. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat. And that word corn simply means grain. It's a generic word for grain. And so it's talking in context about a grain of wheat. Fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, he's talking about a farmer in a sense. He's talking to people who understood that. And here's a farmer who's got a granary full of grains of wheat. He's thrashed his wheat and it's in a granary. And it's inside there. And you know something? If that man, and he says, I desire to save this wheat. I want to save this wheat. I want to save this wheat. You get the picture? What did Jesus say he had to do? But in order for him to save it, he must lose it. Because if he keeps it in his barns, the weevils is going to come. And you know what the weevils will do? They'll lay eggs and there's little larvae will go in there and they'll come and eat heart out of every one of those grains. Have you ever been to a wheat bin after maybe a couple of years? It's been laid around a while. You go and, boy, you can pick up a shovel full of it and it's as light as can be. Still got the same book, but it's light. And it's got a lot of flour around it because it's been something nibbling on the heart or it's the center, the real life of that wheat. And it's not worth any value then. It's gone. In other words, he said, if you keep your wheat in the granary, you want to desire to keep it. If you keep it, you're going to lose it. The bugs are going to eat it. And the varmints are going to get it, the rats and the mice. And they're going to come in and eat that. And they flat will, amen. They'll come in by the scores and eat that wheat up in that barn. But so if he keeps it in his barn, it's going to deteriorate by keeping it, and he's going to lose it. But if a corn of wheat or a grain of wheat is not cast into the ground, it will for a time abide alone and then cease to exist. But if the farmer, if he wants to keep it, what he does, he sows it. And then what happens, we find grains comes out. One grain comes out with really more than just one of those pods, because that branches out at the ground, comes up and makes several pods. And one little grain of wheat can come up out and make a whole handful of wheat grains, you see. That's the way he keeps it. So we're saved by losing. The farmer, if he wants to save his wheat, he's got to lose the wheat by putting it into the ground. I've heard an illustration about, they said in the pirate days, whenever the ship were out there in the ocean and they had their jewels and diamonds and cargo and whatnot. And they, if the pirates come to get the ship, one of the first things they did, if they saw they was outnumbered, they would, as best they could, they would cast their stuff overboard without the pirates seeing where they cast it. And then they might come back and be able to find it later. They lost it. They saved it by losing it, is what their attempt was. Now, they may not have always found it when it went into the water, you understand, but that was the principle. They'd come back and dive down and get those jewels later after the pirates were gone and save those jewels. And so the principle is saved by losing, and that's true of a salvation as far as our soul is concerned. Now, the Lord also taught us this principle, and he taught it to a group in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, there was a group that followed Jesus and said, we want to make you king. And the reason they wanted Jesus as king, he had just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That was just the men, not counting the women and the children. Now, all the 5,000 didn't follow him, but some of the majority did, or some of them did. And when they followed him, there was a nucleus in a sense and said, we want to make you king. We want to make you king. And Jesus began to tell them about the fact, you don't know what you're saying. You need to eat of me. I'm the bread of life. You need to drink of me. I'm the water of life. And as he talked to them, those things, he made a statement to them in John chapter 6, verse number 53, when he said that, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, there's that word again, doubly important, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, that's I had a man write me the other day, want to know if eating the Eutychus, is that what they call that thing? Does that make you? Is that what he's talking about, eating the Eutychus? No, that ain't even in the Bible. That ain't connected to anything Jesus had, amen. But I want to tell you, see, that's a Catholic church who think they turned the so-called communion table into the actual body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's cannibalism, if you please. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying to this multitude, unless you're willing to wholeheartedly receive me as Lord of your lives, you cannot be saved. You cannot have life in you. And you know what the people said? They understood a little bit about what he was talking about, enough that they said, that's a hard saying. In fact, he said in verse number 60 of chapter 6, many therefore of his disciples, they called him disciples. They wasn't saved. They were following along. And when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Or who can obey it? Is what they were saying. And then finally, after Jesus spoke to them some more, in verse 66, and it's amazing, this verse is John 6:66. Amen. Think about that a minute. Amen. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. In other words, they walked no more. God's Word said they didn't walk anymore with him. They left him and never come back to the truth. Never partook of him as Lord of their lives. They died and they went to hell because they wasn't willing to lose. They wasn't willing to lose. They wanted to save their lives, but in saving their lives, they really lost their soul, if you please. But yet, he said, you got to eat of me. You got to partake of me. And he taught that there at that particular time. They wanted to keep their life and they lost it. Now, you're saved by losing, not by keeping. Saved by losing, not by keeping. Jesus also taught this principle. It's recorded in the book of Luke, chapter number 14. In Luke chapter 14, this is a principle that he taught here, as he said here in three verses out of this whole section. I'll just read those verses. But a great multitude was with him. And he turned and said unto them, verse 25 said of Luke 14, but verse 26 said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, no man's going to come unto the Lord till first he has heard and learned of the Father. John 6:45 said. In other words, but any man that comes, that means he's heard, he's got some understanding, but is he willing to pay the price? That's what it boils down to. So Jesus said, if you come, you're going to have to meet the requirements that I've laid down for discipleship, for being saved. That is to hate your mother and father. That means to love less. Love them less than you do me. And then he also said in verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 33 said, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Boy, there's some strong demands that Jesus placed upon those that were coming. Now, a lot of people not even coming yet. Amen. They've not even heard and learned of the Father. In other words, they've not heard all they may have heard with a physical ear, but they hadn't had ears to hear, and they've not learned or understood enough to even come to Him for salvation. But there they were, and He said, you're going to have to meet these requirements. You're going to have to meet this principle. You're going to have to be saved by losing. Losing. So these principles He taught here in Luke 14 means to love Him supremely. It means to deny self. It means to take up your cross and forsake all. In other words, now, if you expect to be saved, you're going to have to do that. And that's basically what He said in all those Scriptures that we've already read in all the three Gospels tonight. Well, really four Gospels tonight about He. In other words, what He said. I want to go back and look at each of those, our text verse again. And we read verse 25 more than one time. But I want to read again the verse preceding that. And look at here in Matthew 16:24. Which is just before He said, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What did He say? Verse 24 said, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come, now you've got to have understanding, He said, after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's basically what He said in the book of Luke chapter 14 that we just read there a while ago. Saved by losing. Mark recorded this just before the verses we read a while ago in Mark. We read Mark chapter 8, verse number 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. But verse 34 said, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark recorded that. Saved by losing. Look at also Luke, where we read the verse a while ago in Luke chapter 9, verse number 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. The verse just before that, verse 23 says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then book of, and in other words, saved by losing. And also in the book of Matthew chapter 10, we read verse number 39 a while ago where he said, "He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." The verse just before that, verse 38 of chapter 10 of Matthew said, in other words, well, verse 37 and 38 go together, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now in all these passages, you see our Lord saying, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. In other words, save by losing. Now what does that mean, denying yourself? Well, denying yourself involves loving Him supremely and forsaking everything for Him. I mean, it's all connected. You can't separate them. Denying self. Not my will, but thine be done. That's what it amounts to. And that's not an easy place to get. In fact, you can't get there by yourself. But you've got to get there if you're ever going to be saved. Amen? In other words, saved by losing. In other words, self's that part of a person. Someone has described self as being that part of a person that likes to be praised. Whew, makes me feel good for you to praise me. That's self. Self likes to be, have its own way. Whatever, they want their own way. And self don't want to be criticized. Want to be praised, but not criticized, all right? And it's got an appetite. The more praise you get, the more you want. The less criticism you get, the less you want. The more you have your own way, the more you want your own way. That's self. But He said you're going to have to deny self. Our Lord is teaching denying self. Himself. Self. He's not saying deny yourself of Coca-Cola and coffee and food or some things or something in this world. And that may be involved in denying self, but first of all, He said, if you really want to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny self. And they said, oh, it's too hard for us in John 6. We can't do that. No, we can't in our own self, but we've got to get to the place to where we'll be made willing to do that. If we're ever, and that only comes when we get to the place that we're saved by losing. By losing, if you please. And so therefore, you see, it means to lose one's sight of oneself and one's own interest. And the tense is a point action, which means one time for all time. And when He said do it daily, it's talking about that's the daily attitude because you're dead. In other words, the old man's dead in that sense. In fact, what do we do instead of trying to deny ourselves? We try to save your life or yourself. You try to take care of yourself in that sense. You try to save your life instead of losing it. But you've got to deny self. God's got to bring you there. And it takes the death blow of the Holy Ghost as the executioner in Holy Ghost conviction that brings you to the place and puts you on the cross. You cannot crucify yourself. You can kill yourself. You can commit suicide. But only the Holy Ghost can cause you to lay down and be nailed to an old rugged cross and self be gotten out of the way. Amen. And so therefore you're saved by losing, denying self. But also before those requirements in those verses, every one of them said, take up your cross. Five times it said in what we've read tonight, take up your cross and follow me. Well, in Luke chapter 14, verse number 27, let me read that one again. He said in Luke 14, 27, he said to, let me find it here, Luke chapter 14, I've got it somewhere. Luke 14, 27, here it is. He said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and cometh after me cannot be my disciple. Now, when a person was condemned in the Old Testament time, or in the time this was even written, when he was condemned to be crucified, a part of the sentence that was the fact that the condemned one had to carry his cross that he was to die on to the place to where he was to be crucified. Had to carry. Didn't they not make Jesus carry his own cross? History says that Jesus fell three times. I don't know. Somebody said that means he wasn't God. Listen, man was carrying that cross. That was humanity. Who had just been beaten unmercifully, I guess. I want to get my words right. I mean, like hamburger meat. You couldn't have told he was a human being. Blood was, and mincemeat upon his back, and blood, and loss of blood, severe loss of blood. And he was weak. And we don't know that that is actually so, even though that's what they say. He fell three times on the way to Calvary. We do know the Bible said that they made one Simon of Cyrene to bear his cross, to help bear his cross, did he not? Why was that? Because he seemingly wasn't able to bear it physically, but that was part of the crucifixion, of the part of the punishment, if you please. And so therefore, you realize something, the cross was an instrument of death. The cross is not something to we glorify the cross in a sense. It's an instrument of death. It means that Jesus died on that cross for my sin, and it's an instrument of death. But when you're to bear your own cross, and by the way, to carry that cross was burdensome. It was loading him down. Anyone who carried that cross, it was disgraceful. And whenever, and it's figurative when he says we're to bear our cross. Now that means, it doesn't mean we're going to go down the cross like Jesus did. That's not what it said. Take up your own cross. It's figurative. It denotes that we must be willing to endure whatever is burdensome or trying or is considered disgraceful in coming to Christ. We're going to have to be willing to endure that. And no matter what the world says, in other words, it consists of obedience no matter what the world thinks, what the world speaks, or what the world does about it. In other words, that's lordship. And folks, you realize something? You can't do that without the completed work of the Holy Ghost of God in your heart. Amen. Loving Him supremely. Your family will say, what's the matter? You love the Lord. Even as you begin to seek, your family will say, what's the matter? You hate me? No. I've just come to a place God's put a love in my heart and I desire you more than anything else. That's part of bearing the cross. It's burdensome. It's trying to you, if you please. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It takes Him to bring you to that place. But you cannot be saved without that. Saved by losing, denying self, taking up your cross and following the Lord. Well, preacher, I don't know whether I'm willing to do that. You'll be made willing in the day of His power. What He said. Oh, just stay put. One of these days God will move in and He'll break that pride and He'll bring you down in humility and He'll bring you humble before Him and you'll be made willing to take up the cross no matter what anybody says, what any preacher says. Now, I'll tell you what, preachers give you the hardest problem you'll have. Anybody in this, if you're around them very much, they'll give you the hardest, well, preachers and preachers' wives, I guess I should say. Amen. You need to put those in there. They'll give you the worst thing because they think they've got an edge on God that nobody else has got. And folks, I'll tell you what, but you get to that place, you won't worry about what so-and-so is going to say down there where I'm work. You are not going to worry. I'm talking about God getting you to that place where you'll be made willing in the day of His power. Well, as we talked about the Lord speaking these things that we've read today, we also know that the Lord also showed the outcome or the result of His teaching. Now, what did He say? We're talking about being saved by losing, and we read those verses. For instance, we said verse number 25 in our text verse, and we'll go back and read that again. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. But then the Lord spoke. What's the outcome? What's the result of you being saved by losing? What can you expect? Well, verse 26 and 27 of Matthew chapter 16, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He'll reward every man according to his work. In other words, he said, you got to get your priorities wrong here. And you wind up losing everything. The man who built bigger barns, what happened today? Said, thy soul, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who's all this going to be? Amen. You're going to leave it all behind. And you're not going to carry it with. Somebody said they didn't have to ever see a U-Haul behind the earth. Amen. You can't carry it with you, in other words, is what he's saying. But we've got so much. Lay up on the other side where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, what he said. And that doesn't mean you can't own things and have things. And even though he said you got to forsake all that means in your heart, you got to forsake that. But here he said you're going to stand one day and give an account before the Lord, and then you'll be rewarded. And you'll find out that you was really saved by losing and it was really worth it all. Amen? In that sense. Well, that's what he said in Matthew. Mark said this way. Let me go over to Mark chapter number 8, verse number 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Then he gave us the outcome or the results in the next three verses. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Talking about the second coming, the rapture, and be judged. The judgment seat of Christ is there. Oh, listen, he said, then it's going to be worth it all. Because it's coming. Well, Luke says it this way. In the book of Luke chapter 9, verse number 24, he said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. But then he recorded this, what Luke recorded, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. In other words, that's the outcome as he's given that. Then also Luke chapter 17, verse number 33, we read a while ago. He said this in Luke 17, 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Then he said, I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. So he's given us an admonition of the outcome. You're going to have to face the Lord one day. Need to take inventory. What's more important? To gain your life now and lose it out yonder, or to lose it now and be saved and have eternal life forevermore with our Lord Jesus Christ. So these verses really, I think, call for an examination. In other words, the Lord's coming back one day for His own. He's going to come back. There will be a judgment that every saint of God will have to stand before and give an account. Now, if you don't make the first judgment, the lost will be at the second judgment. They'll have to give an account as well. But there will be no hope of ever changing destiny of those two. And that's why it's important that you check things out. In fact, He said many are going to say in that last judgment, Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, He said there's many going to say out there in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that day? In Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, you need to realize today, you need to be saved by losing. Loving Him supremely. Denying self. Taking up your cross. And follow Him, forsaking all. That's what He's talking about. Now, that's hard. That's hard for the old self. Self don't want to do that. Flesh don't want to do that. You realize that. Now, have you tried to save your life? Or have you been trying to lose it? Have you been trying to save your life? I'm not talking about it. You get the point of spiritual application. I know you're supposed to go to the doctors. And I'm not talking about dying physically. It's talking about the spiritual application here. Get it straight. Listen, have you tried to save your life or lose it? Saved by losing. Now, for instance, we go give you some examples. King Saul sought to save his life by taking matters into his own hands, and he lost it. Now, I don't know about the eternal part. That's not the important part. He lost his life prematurely. I think he died prematurely. Amen? The rich young ruler tried to save his possessions, and he lost them, and he lost himself. He died and went to hell, from all indication. You may try to hold on to sins and on to jobs. And as that little boy did, you have my pony. You remember the story about that? You may try to hold on to your ponies, your cars, and your hobbies, your sports, and so forth, and say, my will be done. You may try to do that. But when you try to move toward the Lord, the world's going to say, and you're losing it. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, he's losing it? You begin to, some of the people I run with, I guess you could say, in the tractor pull, when I said, I'm going to church next Sunday. You can drive a tractor if you want to, you know. We're partners in it now. I'm not going on Sunday or Wednesday night. I'm going to church. I'm going to go to church, you know. And you know what? Some of them thought I was crazy. You know, they thought I'd lost it. The world look at you when you try to, when you begin to loving Him supremely, denying yourself and taking up your cross and to follow Him even before you're saved. There's a sense you begin down that narrow way. You will begin to lay some things aside. The world's going to look at you and say, you've gone off the deep end. You've lost your marbles. You're crazy. Anybody ever told you that? Huh? They will. I'm talking about if you are sincere about seeking the Lord. But you know what? That's what God said you're going to have to be. Saved by losing. Losing it. Yep, you're right. I've lost it. But hallelujah for losing it. Because that's what God said is a requirement for being saved, is to lose it. Amen? Is to lose it in that sense. And so therefore, that's what you need to do. For you're saved by losing. Because what did He say? For whosoever, verse 25, will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Amen. Paul said one day, he's in Philippians 3, he said, I counted all things loss that I might win Christ, that I might be saved. Mary's anointment was lost when she broke the vase and poured it up on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, she poured it out, she lost it, she sacrificed it. And now that perfume fills the earth through the risen Lord. He's not here. He's risen from the grave. Saved by losing. Now that's a paradox, we call it. The dictionary says a paradox is a proposition contrary to received opinion. Amen. And you say, the world says, can't get all you can and can all you can get. That's what the world says. But a paradox of that is, but if you do that, if you can get all you can and can all you get, you'll lose your soul in the day of judgment. Amen? You'll lose your soul. And that doesn't mean you can't make things and do things and accomplish well. I understand that. Just get your priorities straight. Loving Him. Forsaking all. Bearing your cross, loving Him supremely, and denying self. That's what, and following Him. But you see, Jesus said, lose your life for my sake, for the gospel's sake, and you'll find it. You're saved by losing. You say, well, when are we going to find it? On the resurrection morning. When the grave opens up, you'll find it, that it was the right way. You really gained. In other words, you were saved by losing. Denying self, saved by losing. Deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. And when Jesus works that in you, you can sing the song that we sing sometime. It's number 14 in our little book. And I want Audrey to come, and I want us to play it and try to sing it. Amen. I know you don't have the words to it, and don't turn off the tape just yet. Amen. Let it be on there. It'll be good to be on the tape as well, because I might have something else to say. But the thing about it is, this is what you can say when you're saved by losing, number 14 in our special book, all right? You just stand with us and sing it, and the altar's open. You mind the Lord tonight, but you're saved by losing. That's a principle Jesus taught. That's what He said. You cannot be my disciple. This is happiness. That's what we're talking about, okay? Happiness. That's what you'll find. I found happiness. I found peace. Love sublime, I found real contentment, happy living. Lord, I found happiness all the time, wonderful peace of mind when I found the Lord. For lonely days of pain and misery, for the gold, I found the key. I have found a life of love and harmony. Wondrous happiness all the time, harmony so divine. Since I found the Lord, I found happiness. I found peace of mind. I found the joy of living perfect, love sublime. I found real contentment, happy living in accord. I found happiness all the time, wonderful peace of mind. When I found the Lord, so happy with this brand new melody. I have found that life can be a symphony. Looking forward to that happy jubilee. Glorious symphony all the time, melody so divine. Since I found the Lord, I found happiness. I found peace of mind. Found the joy of love sublime. I found real contentment, happy living in accord. I found happiness all the time, wonderful peace of mind when I found the Lord. Deny yourself, love Him supremely, take up your cross and follow Him. And when you do that, and it's got to be worked in you, you'll find happiness all the time. When? On the resurrected morning, on resurrection morning, and you'll be so glad that you lost your life for the cause of Christ. Saved by losing. Amen. Thank the Lord.